It's game time with the legends, sports legends, Hall of Famers, and much more. It's time for the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show.
Good morning, and you're locked in, and we're ready to go for the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show. I'm your host, Mike Bird. Today's show brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and top realtor of Naples, Pat Dearborn. And this morning, we've got one of my best friends and a guy that was a sweet jump shooter, hustle guy, a Vanderbilt guy, New Jersey Nets guy, Jan Van Bredekhoff. Jan, good morning and welcome morning. To the program.
Good morning, Mike. I'm glad to be here and enjoy talking to you today.
You know, you had very simple beginnings as a Californian. Tell us a little bit about your early memories of basketball in the Golden State.
Well, actually, I ended up in high school in the Golden State in L.A., but I grew up on the East Coast. My father had coached at Lafayette and Hofstra and then on to Princeton. So I was a New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, East Coast guy then. And my sophomore year, he got the job with the Los Angeles Lakers. And all of a sudden, we moved to L.A., and that's where I went to school for 3 years. So,
how did you like California?
I liked it a lot. You know, it was initially a very difficult transition. I had grown up in Princeton and had gotten to be a point guard and had lived there for 5 years and had very much familiarity as far as with my friends and the competition. And all of a sudden, we moved 3,000 miles away to California. And in that case, that was the situation was totally different because all the kids on the team had lived there their whole life. And I was the newcomer and it was a different system, a different coach. And I really struggled my sophomore and junior year to adapt to that. And while I was growing basically 8 or 10 inches in those 2 years.
You know, I was going to ask you about that. As with most small forwards, power forwards, and certainly centers, at some point in time between grade school, middle school, high school, and college, there's a big time growth spurt. When did you have your growth spurt?
It started my sophomore year because I was always average height. So I always played the point guard and that was my natural position because my height was that position and my skill set ended up being a passer and a dribbler and setting up the offense. So when I moved to California, all of a sudden I started to grow 3 to 4 inches a year. And now I played small forward the entire time in high school. So it took me a while to get used to playing without the ball and on the wing, as opposed to bringing the ball up and setting up the offense.
You went to Palos Verdes High School. And I would imagine that you were a stud at Palos Verdes High School. Tell us a little bit about your experience there. And when you really knew that you had the it for basketball?
You know, I really don't think I ever had the it for basketball at that time because my junior year, I only started 2 games. And going into my senior year, I wasn't sure. I thought, you know, I'd play more, but I didn't think I would become the player I did. You know, the unusual situation is my father was coaching the Lakers and then left and went to Detroit for my senior year. And because I had that transition in my sophomore and junior moving to California, I wanted to stay back in California and finish my senior year, which I did. And fortunately, my coach was absolutely tremendous, and I had no idea he was a great coach at the time. But we had a great team. We all played well together, and, you know, it ended up being a really good senior year for all of us.
You know, I was going to ask this question a little bit later in the show, but since you did bring up your dad, Jan is the son of the great Butch Van Bredekhoff of the Los Angeles Lakers and Detroit Piston fame. Could you tell us and tell our listening audience what it was like to have a great coach as a father?
Well, it was an unusual situation, Mike, because he was, when we were in Princeton, when he was coaching there and Hofstra and Lafayette, back then, this was in the 50s and 60s, at that particular time, those coaches coached all year round. So he coached soccer, he coached, you know, tennis, he coached basketball. So he was never around. And then the summertime he did camps. And then when we moved to Los Angeles, as everybody knows, you know, the pro job is a year-round job. So he never worked on my game individually with me. You know, I went to see them play the Lakers a lot, and I obviously went to the Princeton practices, but he wasn't out there in the backyard rebounding for me and showing me how to shoot. And I asked him one time, finally, I said, why didn't you do that? And he said, you know, I didn't want to, you know, try to coach you and then have your high school or college coach you. And then there'd be some confusion where I might say something, they say something else. So we'll leave it to your own coach. So it was, you know, that was the way he viewed it. And I accepted it. And here we are.
Jan, did you ever have an opportunity to be around a lot of the pro teams when you were in high school growing up?
You know, I went to the Laker games, you know, my sophomore, junior, and then he moved away. Like I said, the senior, he went to Detroit. So my sophomore, junior, I went to a lot of the games, but I never went to a practice. So I was never around the players.
Let's go back to the high school, Palos Verdes. When did you know that you were ready for the next level, ready to go and be a star in college?
I think as the season progressed, I didn't have any schools coming into that senior year recruiting me because we didn't have AAU back then. So you couldn't, you know, get your name out there like you can now. And there wasn't the, you know, the internet and social media and stuff. So I think it was like about halfway through the season where we caught fire. We had a really good team and some coaches started coming in to see me play. And then they started saying, hey, can you visit here? And I started saying, okay, well, maybe I can play at the next level. So I think it was probably about midway through my senior year.
You were recruited, I'm sure, by a lot of schools. How many schools came after Jan Van Predikoff?
You know, it wasn't as many as like you would have now, because like I said, there was the only thing they had was scouting reports and some of there was a few scouting services, I should say. But I had, you know, maybe 100.
100?
Yeah. But I think some of them were smaller schools. But the big, it came down to USC and Vanderbilt were my final two schools.
And why did you choose Vandy over USC?
USC had, I liked them. Paul Westphal was 1 year ahead of me. So he was a freshman when I was a senior in high school. The problem was with USC is they were in the same conference as UCLA. Back then, only one team from the conference went to the NCAA tournament, which was UCLA every year. Being a young kid playing basketball, I wanted to go to the NCAA tournament. And then the second thing was that Vanderbilt recruited me as a point guard. So that was appealing to me because that was my natural position growing up, other than the 3 years where I played small forward. You know, so I just thought it was a unique situation. They were looking for somebody to make their team better and do some of the intangibles and the dynamics of being a leader. And I think that, you know, was a situation where I chose them over USC at the end.
You mentioned the great Paul Westphal. Tell our listening audience what a great player Paul was.
He was a phenomenal player. People that saw him at the end, you know, he lost some of his athleticism. But when he was young, coming out of USC and playing in the pros with mostly Phoenix and the Boston Celtics, he was extremely athletic, would just drive down the middle and dunk left-handed on people. And was just very, very competitive. And beside the athleticism and the skill set, he mentally was way ahead of a lot of the players. And I remember the time they called timeout, which became a technical foul, but they wanted to advance the ball to midcourt. And then they gave up the point. The other team made the free throw, and then they threw in the Gar Hurd. He made a shot, and they went into overtime and won. So
I remember that game.
A coach on the floor while he was playing, and then obviously went on to have a very good coaching career after he played.
Let's go back to the high school just for a second. Were there any memorable games that you recall, any games that stand out more than any other?
Oh, most definitely. We, all year long, Jamal Wilkes, who was Keith Wilkes at the time, whatever, I can't think of the guy's first name, Love, who plays with the Cleveland Cavaliers. His father played with Wilkes. And they were ranked one and we were ranked two all year long. So, and Wilkes was going to go to UCLA. And so we were all jacked up from our team that we're going to play, you know, Ventura in the finals and see against Wilkes and Love. And all of a sudden, my in the LA Sports Arena where USC plays and the Lakers played back then, all of a sudden they were in a situation where they lose in the semifinals and we come on the court as they lost the game. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, darn, they lost. Well, we'll just have to beat, you know, whoever they played. And then we lost by 1 point to Monrovia, which had a great team. So that night was the, you know, kind of the culmination of my high school basketball career. And I remember it very vividly.
We're going down memory lane. It's the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show. And we are talking this morning with Jan Van Bredekhoff. And we will be back and we'll get into Jan's Vanderbilt years and then his pro career right after these commercial messages.
Hall of Fame athletes exclusively here in Naples, Florida. It's only on the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show.
This commercial timeout brought to you by the Alamo Gun Range of Naples.
Welcome to the Alamo Gun Range of Naples. Are you a first-time shooter with a lot of questions and need training? The Alamo Gun Range of Naples is here for you. With our clean, comfortable, and relaxing atmosphere and a staff that's certified and trained to provide you with the answers and training you need to get started, you'll feel right at home. The Alamo Gun Range of Naples. Naples' premier indoor gun range and firearms superstore, alamorange.com.
Need to secure a loan for purchase or refinance? Call Lauren Maxwell and the Maxwell Mortgage Team of Cross Country Mortgage. Lauren Maxwell is a trusted name in Naples with over 35 years of lending experience. She has been recognized as the number one female loan originator in the state for the past 2 years. Whether you are a first-time home buyer or a seasoned investor, Lauren can help secure the right loan to suit your needs. Contact Lauren Maxwell and the Maxwell Mortgage Team. They're located at 9130 Galleria Court, Suite 101, Naples. Call Lauren Maxwell at 239-596-0500 or visit www.maxwellmortgageloans.com. The Maxwell Mortgage Team is a proud sponsor of the Naples All-Star Events Legends 4 at the Hilton Hotel in Naples. Lauren Maxwell, NMLS number 331415, Maxwell Mortgage Branch number 1770104, and Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS number 3027, an equal housing lender. Make sure to visit MaxwellMortgageLoans.com.
You never know when the shit could hit the fan, but when it does, call this man. Sunwest Plumbing is a proud sponsor of the Patriot broadcast here at Seat to Table. You never know when your pipes get backed up, so we are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to answer that emergency call. Because when you're clogged up, all you want is relief. We are located in beautiful, free Naples, Florida. We service both residential and commercial properties from Marco Island all the way up to Fort Myers. Remember, Sunwest is the best because we know our shit.
Do you know what CCIM stands for? It stands for Certified Commercial Investment Member. It means that you are in the top 1% in the field of commercial realtors in the nation. CCIM Dan Barrell of Keller Williams Commercial can handle all types of commercial real estate, whether you're an investor, a tenant, or looking for something for your personal use. Retail, medical, industrial, office, restaurant, hospitality, and land. Call Dan at 239-850-2185 for your free consultation.
Sports are all about participation, but it's hard to participate when you can't walk. Wheelchair Foundation provides wheelchairs to people from all walks of life, all around the world. A wheelchair means a chance to participate in all kinds of activities. Not only does a wheelchair change the life of a person who needs it, it also changes the life of the people who have to care for them. Visit www.wheelchairfoundation.org for more information and to donate. That's www.wheelchairfoundation.org.
Naples All-Star Events presents the Legends of Basketball 4 Monday, March 27th from 4 to 7:30 p.m. at the Hilton Naples. Meet and greet NBA Hall of Fame All-Stars, including Detroit Pistons scoring machine and now the mayor, Dave Bing. The other Golden State Warriors NBA scoring legend, Rick Barry. Two-time NBA champion with the Bucks and the Bullets, Bobby Dandridge. And a member of one of the best front courts in NBA history, three times NBA champion and Celtic legend, Kevin McHale. Come enjoy an exclusive VIP access to these four Hall of Fame basketball all-stars, including autographs, photos, food, prizes, and more. The Legends of Basketball 4, March 27th at the Hilton
to Naples. Reserve your tickets now, and for more information, go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Legends 4 is brought to you exclusively by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group. Mark your calendar now. Don't miss it. Known for bringing sports legends to Southwest Florida, here's the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show.
I'm your host, Mike Bird. Today's show brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and top realtor of Naples, Pat Dearborn. And this morning, we're talking to Vanderbilt's best and star with the NBA New Jersey Nets, Jan Van Bredekhoff. Jan, we were talking a little bit about the leap from high school to Vanderbilt. What was it like to play for the Ivy League school of the SEC?
Well, it was really unusual, Mike, to when I look back at it, because as I was saying, I played for a great high school coach who also coached Bill Laimbeer, who went on to have a great NBA career. But the entire time that I played for him, he was very demanding. And he was very aloof in a lot of ways where there was no interaction, but he made us do things we didn't want to do, which is what really good coaches do. And so I go to Vanderbilt my freshman year, and our very first practice, not practice, just working out with the other players in the gym, I'm going out there and I'm playing well and driving around people and I'm playing defense. And when it was over, a couple of the guys came up to me and said, "Can you teach us what you just did out there?" And I'm like, "What did I do?" And he says, "Well, you're like low and you're like have this stance that you're in all the time." And I said, "What do you mean?" They go, and they did. I said, "Yeah, isn't that what everybody does?" And they go, "No, that's great." So our high school coach taught us how to play in a stance. And we had to go around the court in a stance, palms up, for like 5 minutes every day with weights and everything. So I realized then how great a coach he was, because I didn't even know that that quality became probably the best thing I was able to do, and then probably had the most to do with my career and able to play well in college and on beyond that.
What was the competition like in the SEC back in those days?
You know, it was different than it is now. Obviously, you had one game a week on TV, and that was kind of the big time to play and get to play maybe twice a year on TV, but Kentucky was always the best school and Alabama was really good. And those were the top two teams in our league. And later on, you know, Arkansas came in, but they weren't in when I was playing, but it was Alabama and Kentucky. And then you had Tennessee with Bernard King and Ernie Grunfeld were a good team. The bottom of the league wasn't as strong, whereas now most of these conferences like the SEC from top to bottom, they're good throughout. But it was a very competitive league, and, you know, I enjoyed playing in it, and we just got better each year. And fortunately for me, freshmen weren't eligible because physically I was so thin that I wouldn't have probably been able to play as a freshman. But as we came in as sophomores, four of us were end up starting off that freshman team. So we all had a chance to get to know each other on and off the court, which helped make that transition from the team standpoint going into our sophomore year.
One of my good friends and someone who has been a guest on the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show is Kevin Grevey.
Sure.
And Kevin and I had a long conversation about Kentucky. Obviously, I think Kentucky is one of the best schools. It's not as great as Marquette, but it's a pretty good school. We talked a little bit about what it was like to play under Adolph Rupp. What was it like for you to go into Kentucky, into Lexington, and play against that crowd?
Well, it was amazing. I mean, Kevin is a good friend of mine. I haven't seen him in a long time, but you know, Kevin was at Kentucky when I was at Vanderbilt. So we played against each other, and he was a really good player, really competitive and great shooter. But you went up to Kentucky, that was before they had Rupp Arena. They were closer to the floor. They were loud. They were noisy. And we had success against them. My junior and senior year, we were fortunate enough to win both games there and both games at our place. But Adolph Rupp had just only coached that sophomore year. And then they brought in Joe B. Hall. So, you know, but they were great to play against. And for some reason, we just had we really matched up well and played against them well in those last, you know, four times we played them.
You were player of the year in the SEC in 1974. I said from the very outset, you were a stud. What was it like knowing that really no one could touch you in that conference?
Well, our team was better than anything. And if you had told me that I was the MVP of the league, like you just mentioned it, I was more surprised than anybody at all, because all year long, we just played as a unit. We played as a team. We had that bond between each other, and we just went out and competed every game and really tried to win and not let each other down. And as the season went on, we just kept winning and winning, and we got to first place, and we went all the way to the end. I had to beat Alabama at our place to clinch it with two games to go. And it was just a storybook season. And then all of a sudden, I remember, you know, sitting there in breakfast and somebody said, oh, gee, they're going to announce the all SEC teams. And they said, oh, gee. And I said, oh, really? And I was like thinking, okay, well, is it Kevin Grevy or Leon Douglas is going to be the MVP of the league? And somebody said, oh, no, you might be. I said, my stats aren't anything like them. But the reason that I was actually awarded was just because, you know, I did certain things for our team to win, and we had the best record. If we had finished third place or second place, it would have been a big difference. And that, I think it was the team that was the successful one, and I just happened to represent them as the one who won the honor.
You had all the accolades in 1974, and then the NBA draft came calling, and so did the Portland Trailblazers. What was it like to be drafted by Portland in 74? Was it a dream realized for you?
Yes and no. I guess having played in LA in high school and then going on to college, Bill Walton was the same age as I was, even though he was in San Diego. We all knew who he was. And so when the draft went on that night or that afternoon, Portland Trailblazers took Bill Walton as number one. So then there was only 18 teams in the league that back then. So then the second round started, and then Portland took me in the first part of the second. I was the number 20th pick. And they also had two more second round choices. So now it comes down to Walton gets a lot of money because he's number one pick. And then there are two other draft choices that they had assigned along with me. So there was three of us. And so they came back and said, we want you to play. And I was like, oh, great. But they said, you know, we're not going to give you a guaranteed contract. I'm like, okay. So the Denver Nuggets, which was Coach Larry Brown, and Bobby Jones and I were teammates in some All-Star games, got to know each other and chose the same agent. And the Denver Nuggets signed Bobby and I the same day. I think I had a five-year contract that was guaranteed. So it was a no-brainer to go to Denver, play with Bobby, and play for Larry Brown was a great opportunity. But then a couple of years later, Portland Trailblazers won the whole thing. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I got the money, but maybe I would have been a good player in Portland. So it's hard to look back now.
But you didn't stay very long at Portland. You went to the ABA. Tell us a little bit about the transition.
That's when the ABA and the NBA, you know, were both coexisting separately.
Okay.
So you had a choice to go, you know, the NBA would draft you and the ABA would draft me. So I was drafted by the ABA and the NBA. Just like Maurice Lucas was drafted by the ABA and NBA, Bobby Jones was, you know, all these guys that came out, Lenny Elmore, Billy Knight, all these guys in my class, a lot of us signed in the ABA because
right.
we were able to get more money and get probably better playing time initially as opposed to going to the NBA. And then 2 years later, that's when they had the merger. And I moved to the Nets, and Maurice, who was a teammate of mine with Kentucky, went to Portland, and Artis Gilmore went to Chicago. So those were all parts after 2 years is when we merged and then played. I played with the Nets the rest of my career.
You know, you mentioned Mo Lucas, again, another one of Marquette's best. What was Mo like? Tell our listening audience a little bit about the Milwaukee strongman.
Well, Maurice is a very, you know, he was represented as this enforcer person, big, mean, toughest guy in the NBA. And I remember playing against him my in the ABA, and he grabbed my shirt. I turned around and hit him. And I mean, I was like ready to fight him. And I was like, who's this guy? He's just like nagging you all the time. And then we get to be, you know, he's playing with Portland. We trade Calvin Natt. He comes to the Nets. And now I get to know him. And he ends up being our next door neighbor. And he's like the nicest guy, so soft spoken, so caring and loving. And so there's some kittens out in the backyard that it's snowing out and it's cold. And he comes over and goes over to Home Depot, gets wood, and he builds this little house for the kittens.
Are you kidding me?
No. And I'm saying, like, if I ever told anybody that he did this, they would say, like, oh, he's not this bad guy that beats up people and he's mean. No, he's a very nice, compassionate person. So even though he went to Marquette and even though they beat us in the NCAA tournament, but he was a great guy. And unfortunately, he should be still alive because he was impact a lot of people.
Well, he certainly died too soon. This is great conversation. Folks, we hope you're enjoying it so far. Our conversation this morning on the Naples All-Star Events Radio Show is with NBA great, Vanderbilt great, Jan Van Bredekhoff. And we will be right back after these commercial messages.
You're listening to the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show with your host, Mike Bird.
This commercial timeout brought to you by the Floormeisters of Naples. Just keeping it real.
Floormeisters of Naples, family owned and operated, specializing in wood, Cortec carpet and tile. Huge in-stock selection, great pricing, licensed and insured. 15,000 square foot showroom. Visit them today at floormeisters.com or call them at 239-596-4964. That's the Floormeisters of Naples, just keeping it real.
Proud to honor the best of Collier County's youth athletics, it's the National Football Foundation. The National Football Foundation supports and celebrates extraordinary academic achievement along with outstanding competitive football performances and community services of Collier County High School senior football players. Stop by the website and learn more at nffcollier.com. That's nffcollier.com, the National Football Foundation of Collier County.
Are you a small business owner and employee turnover and management keep you up at night? If you answered yes, HR by Karen is here to help you with recruitment, retention, and training. Call HR by Karen today to provide HR solutions for your business at 239-776-5919 or visit our website at hrbykaren.com. You can't spell heart without HR. Let's crush it together.
Let me ask you a question. Do you want to get healthy in spirit, mind, and body and be a part of a cause dedicated to bringing about meaningful change for you and your community? Well, if so, then join the Bonita Springs YMCA today. The Bonita Springs YMCA is where individuals thrive and communities come together. Enjoy all the benefits like pickleball, fitness center, outdoor heated pool, discounts on youth programs, adult leagues, and so much more. If you're interested, call 239-221-7560. That's 239-221-7560. Or visit www.ymcaswfl.org. Join the Bonita Springs YMCA today.
The Rescue 22 Foundation is a national nonprofit organization based in Naples that provides trained service dogs to veterans with disabilities in need. Service dogs address the many challenges veterans face associated with combat, both physical and mental. Rescue 22 makes sure there is no cost to our veterans. Please join our mission. Visit rescue22foundation.org or call 302-272-8029. All donations are 100% deductible. That's rescue22foundation.org.
Naples All-Star Events presents the Legends of Basketball 4, Monday, March 27th from 4 to 7:30 p.m. at the Hilton Naples. Meet and greet NBA Hall of Fame All-Stars, including Detroit Pistons scoring machine and now the mayor, Dave Bing.
the other Golden State Warriors NBA scoring legend, Rick Barry. Two-time NBA champion with the Bucks and the Bullets, Bobby Dandridge. And a member of one of the best front courts in NBA history, three times NBA champion and Celtic legend, Kevin McHale. Come enjoy an exclusive VIP access to these four Hall of Fame basketball all-stars, including autographs, photos, food, prizes, and more. The Legends of Basketball 4, March 27th at the Hilton, Naples. Reserve your tickets now, and for more information, go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Legends 4 is brought to you exclusively by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group. Mark your calendar now. Don't miss it. It's the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show.
Today's show brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and top realtor of Naples at Dearborn. This morning, we're talking to Jan Van Bredekhoff. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the NBA-ABA merger and how Jan went from Portland to the New Jersey Nets, and talking a little bit about that experience with New Jersey. Tell us about some of your fondest memories being with the Nets, and who were some of your favorite teammates?
Well, it was an unusual situation because I think my high school career, we were a very good team, and we were won a lot of games. And then I go to the College of Vanderbilt, and we won a lot of games. So, you know, winning is something that we all play for and love, because that's what makes the game enjoyable. And I was fortunate to play for Denver my rookie year, and we won 69 games with the Nuggets. And then I was with Kentucky, and we lost in the semifinals of the ABA, but we had a really good team. And then I go to the Nets, and we're like, oh, great. You know, Julius Erving's here. We're going to be good. And the day before the season started, they traded him to the Philadelphia 76ers. And we went from being a promising team to, you know, being a team that was more at the bottom of the league. So I think it was difficult. When I look back, you know, I thought it was hard to play on a team that lost most of the time. And, you know, we weren't as competitive. And it was the first time in my life that I'd been on a losing team. And it was hard. We scrapped and fought like everybody else. It's just we didn't have the manpower to win. But I had some good coaches and some good teammates, and we had some good times. It just wasn't nearly as many as I would have liked.
Jan, let's get into that just a little bit. What is it like when you've been a winner your whole life and then you play on that first team that doesn't win? How demoralizing is it for you as a player?
I think that my game was predicated on being a glue guy, so to speak, a guy that would get rebounds, make passes, play defense, being a coach on the floor. But I felt like I was able to impact my high school and college team by being that guy that wasn't a scorer. And now all of a sudden you lose Julius Erving. And like, I think I was the third leading scorer in the team, and I'm not a scorer, but now I'm trying to learn how to score, and that wasn't my game. So it was a little bit frustrating having playing in a different element, playing a character as a player. And when you lose, and you lose as we did, just got a little bit demoralizing, and the game wasn't as fun as much as it was before.
What was the difference, the major difference between the game back then when you played and the game today? And let's take the money out of it. Obviously, the money is much greater today than it was back when you played, but what were some of the other differences?
I think that when you look at the players now, there's this, the players today hate on the older players, and the older players back then hate on the younger players that are playing now, because everybody always has a way to, how can you compare what we did and how to what they're doing? The biggest difference is that the players today, their ability with the basketball and their athleticism and understanding of the game is like night and day to what it was like when I played back in the 70s and 80s. And they have guys that work out with them, rebound for them. They have trainers, they have nutritionists, they have people that feed them correctly. They have first class travel. They have their own plane. Everything about what they do, their supporting system, and they have what, 8-10 coaches on the NBA staff, where when I played, we had two. So there's so much more attention to them and support, and their abilities are just astronomical to watch some of these guys can get around their man anytime they want. And no one man can guard one player. You're always in help position off the ball. Whereas back when we played, we had to do a lot of screening. We had to do a lot of things, running set plays to get somebody an open shot. Now, nobody has to run a play except maybe a high ball screen where they're trying to get a mismatch and try to attack the bigger player.
In your estimation, is today's game better or worse than it was when you played?
I think from a spectator standpoint, it's better because it's exciting. The game's fast. They're scoring 125 points sometimes. And just from a straight entertainment value, it's better today. I think from a strategic standpoint and from a little bit more coaching and preparation back when we played, I think it was a great game back then. But it's just a different game now, and it's equally fun and to watch. But I know some of the old-time people think that they don't get as much credit for it being pioneers and helping this great game of basketball be what it is today.
And you really do feel that. You really do feel like that it is still a great game worldwide. Its appeal is really like none other.
It is. It's just from a straight spectator standpoint. And I just think from the impact of a individual player. I watched the Redeem team the other night, and it was just a fascinating show of watching what Coach K did with the pro players, and to see a guy like Kobe Bryant show how much impact he had on the team with his leadership by not being vocal, but just being that guy that walked the walk. And that was exciting. But a lot of people don't like the isolation where a guy can just back you down, where it used to be you couldn't back a guy down like that for five seconds. But now it's a little bit individualistic, but it is what it is. So, but it doesn't bother me. But I know some of the old timers think the game has evolved to not to be a team sport as much as an individual sport.
Towards the tail end of your career, you actually played in Italy. Did you like the experience?
That's a good question, because there were parts I loved and there was parts I hated. But
we'll get into that. Tell me, what parts did you love?
It was like college. It was exactly like college. My wife and two sons, we live right across from the arena. And, you could walk there and be there 30 seconds. And all the people line up because there was no seating. You first come, first serve. So we would play like at 4:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday. And by 1 o'clock, they're all lining up and they're listening to the soccer game. So, and all of a sudden somebody scores, they start yelling, and it's kind of fun. But when you got into the gym 2 hours before the game, it's packed. Everybody's ready and they have songs and they get excited. So it had a college atmosphere, and you only played 32 games. So it was kind of like a college season, and then you had the playoffs. So every game meant something. What was hard was that it was a long season. You had to get there a month and a half before the season, have for two-a-day practices for basically 6 weeks. And that was what I didn't like.
The Naples All-Star Event Sports Show, this morning's guest, Jan Van Bredekhoff. I hope you folks out there are enjoying this program as much as I am, as Jan gives his insight into the NBA game that he loves and we love so much. We will be right back after this commercial timeout.
You're listening to the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show.
Running a business can be overwhelming when trying to do everything. TLC Marketing and Creative Services is here to help. They're a full-service marketing boutique. They'll take care of all your branding needs, including ads, branding, logos, social media websites, SEO, blogs, graphics, events, and much more. They become an extension of your team. Every business needs a little TLC. Give them a call today at no cost. 239-405-2000.
800-228-8115.
Realtor Patrick Dearborn with John R. Wood Properties is the official realtor for all Patriots here in Southwest Florida, a.k.a. Freedom Town, USA. Call Patrick Dearborn and his all-star team today, 239-877-4340, and let them help you navigate the current market successfully. Investors, second homeowners, full-time home, condo, or commercial, Patrick Dearborn is the go-to agent. Proud veteran of the U.S. Army 82nd Airborne. Big heart, big patriot. Call Patrick Dearborn today, 239-877-4340.
Sports are all about participation, but it's hard to participate when you can't walk. Wheelchair Foundation provides wheelchairs to people from all walks of life, all around the world. A wheelchair means a chance to participate in all kinds of activities. Not only does a wheelchair change the life of a person who needs it, it also changes the life of the people who have to care for them. Visit www.wheelchairfoundation.org for more information and to donate. That's www.wheelchairfoundation.org.
Vicente of London is the premier cigar lounge and retailer in Naples, Florida. Vicente is stocked with premium cigars and accessories from some of the most esteemed makers, including Davidoff, Zeno, Padron, Avo, Rocky Patel, Perdomo, Plasencia, and many more. Vicente is the perfect place to enjoy a cigar and more, whether inside our lounge, at the bar, or on our relaxing outside patio. Open 7 days a week, featuring live entertainment on Friday nights, NFL ticket, and Major League Baseball. Remember the name Vicente of London, Naples' premier cigar lounge and retailer.
When it comes to promotional products in Southwest Florida, you can trust the good people of Swag World. With so many companies offering promotional products, it's hard to know who to trust. Will they get the logo right? Will they deliver on time? Is the price correct? Well, you can trust the people of Swag World. Their number one priority is to make you and your organization shine. Their success is your success. Call them for a consultation today. The number is 877-260-0002. That's 877-260-0002. Their success is your success. Swag World, number one in Southwest Florida. And remember, when it comes to promotional products, you can trust the good people of Swag World.
Naples All-Star Events presents the Legends of Basketball 4. Monday, March 27th from 4 to 7:30 p.m. at the Hilton Naples. Meet and greet NBA Hall of Fame All-Stars, including Detroit Pistons scoring machine and now the mayor, Dame Big. The other Golden State Warriors NBA scoring legend, Rick Barry. Two-time NBA champion with the Bucks and the Bullets, Bobby Dandridge. And a member of one of the best front courts in NBA history, three times NBA champion and Celtic legend, Kevin McHale. Come enjoy an exclusive VIP access to these four Hall of Fame basketball all-stars, including autographs, photos, food, prizes, and more. The Legends of Basketball 4, March 27th at the Hilton Naples. Reserve your tickets now, and for more information, go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Legends 4 is brought to you exclusively by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group. Mark your calendar now. Don't miss it. It's the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show with Mike Bird.
And we are talking this morning with Jan Van Bredekhoff about his career and life in the NBA. And Jan, I would be remiss if we didn't briefly talk a little bit about your dad, Butch Van Bredekhoff. Give us a couple of stories that are memorable to you about your dad growing up.
You know, he just loved sports and wasn't just basketball. He loved, like I said, tennis, golf. He ended up being an All-American soccer player. He just loved the game. He loved people. He was very outgoing and much more into the relationships with the players as opposed to being X's and O's and watching a lot of film. So that was his calling and what he did. And he had a very successful career, but, you know, he also at times was so competitive that it poured out into the actual game with referees and got a little testy. Like,
he knew how to express himself, as I recall.
Yeah. You know, and so his career was different than mine and his success was different. But he had a long career and loved the game and loved people.
After your playing career ended, you went into coaching. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was something that I felt like my father played, and then he went into coaching. And a lot of players go right into coaching or go into announcing. And I had gone to Vanderbilt, which was a top 20 academic school. And I said, I want to do something different. So I worked at a bank in New York, New Jersey, during the day. And then on the weekends, I would go to Princeton University, where Coach Carrill was coaching, and go to the games that, if I could, or practice on a Saturday or Sunday. And I remember they played Lehigh on a Tuesday night or something. And it's a close game going all the way down to the end. And Princeton ends up winning by 2 points. And like the adrenaline from that game as I came home, and my wife said, well, how'd you like it? I was like, well, I didn't do anything, but like I felt like, you know, I was in the game. And so at that end of that year, Brian Winters, who was Coach Carrill's assistant, went to Cleveland Cavaliers with Lenny Wilkins. And then he offered me the job. And I said, sure, because that was a natural for me. But I did like the bank. It just was at that particular moment to get into commercial lending, you had to learn for a while, because now you're investing other people's money and you got to do the right thing. So I think that, you know, I made that choice, and there's times when I said it was good, and at times I said, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
You had great success, maybe your greatest success, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you coached some great teams at Pepperdine. What was that like?
You know, it was a really unique experience, Mike. I think, you know, I became such a student of the game because my exposure to coaching was from Coach Carrill at Princeton. I was assistant for 5 years, and we overachieved and were very disciplined and didn't make mistakes and very prepared. So when I started coaching, I did the same thing. I just lived in the office and watched film after film after film. So I thought I was as prepared as anybody. And all of a sudden, we had a certain amount of success at Vanderbilt. But when I went to Pepperdine, the whole atmosphere was different. You know, the players were looking to be, they wanted more than just you to be their coach. They want then you to be their mentor, develop their relationships. So I kind of changed my whole style at that time and did a lot of films at night or early in the morning at home. And then when I came to the office, I was able to spend a lot of time with the players and talk about not just basketball, but life. And our team was so close. It reminded me a lot of my college team that I played with at Vanderbilt. We were so close, we didn't want to let anybody down. And our dynamics was off the charts, and our team played really well. And back then, it was just Gonzaga and Pepperdine were the two best teams. Now it's a very well-balanced league, even though Gonzaga is still good. But we beat Gonzaga. That was the last time Gonzaga did not win the league championship, when we beat them back in 2000 or 1999, whatever it was. It was so much fun to be around those guys, and it's just a great atmosphere, top to bottom. And those 2 years were the two greatest years I had in coaching.
Jan, I know you have a very comfortable lifestyle down here in Southwest Florida. I mean, we all love it. Who wouldn't want to be down here in paradise? But if the NBA came knocking and offered you a coaching job today, would you take it?
No.
No, really? Yeah, why would you not?
I coached for a long time. I think I played and coached, and I think that there were certain aspects that I enjoyed or felt like I was doing what I was supposed to do, because that's all I was exposed to ever since I was a little kid. But as I drift away from the coaching standpoint, and you get to that point in your life where there's reflection and they're starting to, you go, why am I here? And why, what does God want me to do? And what is my calling? You know, you start to look at things and say, gee, what's that song by John Warwick? What's it all about, Alfie?
That's
and
right.
I hear that song and I'm like, there's something more to life than coaching. Yes, I coached 1 year in New Orleans with Tim Floyd, and I could help somebody maybe get 2 points more a game or help them in a particular game. But overall, I didn't have impact on those teams. But in my life right now, I hope to impact people, younger kids, maybe coaches, parents, whoever they are right now, in seeing something that there's more to life than competing or trying to stay up with the Joneses or whatever to make this world a better place and try to become a servant leader in some way that, and that's what I'm interested in. So I kind of, the basketball standpoint, that's an opportunity to maybe have my voice be heard, but that's not at all what I'm interested in as far as coaching or the NBA atmosphere whatsoever.
So for Jan Van Bredekhoff, if you could look in the crystal ball, what lies ahead for you in the future?
What I'd like to have is create a platform where I can be of importance or significance, that I can continue to help kids. I help them on the physical side, skill set, but I want to help them on the mental side, try to help them in the mental health situation. But more than that, just help them with their understanding of what life is about. And the life skills that you gain from sports are just so important, but they need to be able to learn how to fail. They need to learn how to get back up, and they need to, you know, have that resilience, and then learn how they can become the leaders of tomorrow, and have that as part of my thing. And I think that I love the Indian proverb that they say, it's great if you can plant the shade tree that you'll never sit under. So if there's something happens sometime, but you do a lot of good and you don't get to sit under that shade tree, but these kids that you've worked with will, I don't know if that's too deep for you right now.
No. I think that's great. When the story of Jan Van Bredekhoff is done, it will say that he was a fine, fine basketball player, but he was a better human being. And we are so privileged and humbled to have you on the program, or to have had you on the program this morning. Jan, thank you so much for being our guest on the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm humbled that you even said that, but I appreciate that. And, you know, we all try to work harder every day to try to do what we can. And I'm just a person, in the process. And I think that last thing I have to say, I think that we're so outcome oriented, we're so finite oriented, that, you know, we don't learn to live through the process and understand that we can live an infinite life. And that's what I hope that I can end up doing.
The Naples All-Star Event Sports Show, where the athletes are legendary and the stories are of legend. Make sure to join us next week on both Saturday and Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. Today's show brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and top realtor of Naples, Pat Dearborn. Here's hoping the rest of your day is legendary.
It's the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show. Your host, Mike Bird. Be sure to join us next week as we sit down with another sports legend, exclusively for you to enjoy as we hear the stories, the drive, the determination behind the legendary athletes of our time. It's the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show.
You've accomplished much in life. You want the very best, and that may include high-end art for your home or office. Look no further than Balanced Images. Balanced Images specializes in high-end aluminum art created just for you. The mission is to create one-of-a-kind art that brings a client's passion to life with a simple but yet bold approach. See them on the web at balancedimages.com or call Alessia Marcine at 804-301-5212. That's 804-301-5212. For one-of-a-kind art pieces designed with you and only you in mind, there is only one: Balanced Images.
Mark and Amanda Finning with the Finning Team, powered by Keller Williams Sports and Entertainment, seek to assist you with your future property investment nationwide. The Finning Team provides the knowledge and expertise to help you in your real estate needs with a strong network of professionals and access to a variety of resources. This helps to search or market your property effectively, meticulously, and privately. Call the Finning Team now at 239-920-1848. That's 239-920-1848. The Finning Team.
Are you a small business owner with at least one employee? If you answered yes and do not have an employment handbook, now is the time to call HR by Karen to help your business stay in compliance and out of trouble. Call HR by Karen for your free one-hour business consultation today at 239-776-5919 or visit our website at hrbykaren.com. You can't spell heart without HR.
Let me ask you a question. Do you want to get healthy in spirit, mind, and body and be a part of a cause dedicated to bringing about meaningful change for you and your community? Well, if so, then join the Bonita Springs YMCA today. The Bonita Springs YMCA is where individuals thrive and communities come together. Enjoy all the benefits like pickleball, fitness center, outdoor heated pool, discounts on youth programs, adult leagues, and so much more. If you're interested, call 239-221-7560. That's 239-221-7560. Or visit www.ymcaswfl.org. Join the Bonita Springs YMCA today.
The Rescue 22 Foundation is a national nonprofit organization based in Naples that provides trained service dogs to veterans with disabilities in need. Service dogs address the many challenges veterans face associated with combat, both physical and mental. Rescue 22 makes sure there is no cost to our veterans. Please join our mission. Visit rescue22foundation.org or call 302-272-8029. All donations are 100% deductible. That's rescue22foundation.org.
Naples All-Star Events presents the Legends of Basketball 4. Monday, March 27th from 4 to 7:30 p.m. at the Hilton Naples. Meet and greet NBA Hall of Fame All-Stars, including Detroit Pistons scoring machine and now the mayor, Dame Big. The other Golden State Warriors NBA scoring legend, Rick Barry. Two-time NBA champion with the Bucks and the Bullets, Bobby Dandridge. And a member of one of the best front courts in NBA history. Three times NBA champion and Celtic legend, Kevin McHale. Come enjoy an exclusive VIP access to these four Hall of Fame basketball all-stars, including autographs, photos, food, prizes, and more. The Legends of Basketball 4, March 27th at the Hilton, Naples. Reserve your tickets now, and for more information, go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Legends 4 is brought to you exclusively by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group. Mark your calendar now. Don't miss it.